Hello and welcome back to Spinal Cast. I'm your host, David Stevens, and joining us today is Lydia McComas. Lydia is the Vote Engagement Division Manager for Hennepin County Elections and works tirelessly to reduce the barriers in the voting process. So, Lydia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Of course, of course. So, I think the goal for today's episode is, in the midst of election season, as we're in, I just want to explore the voting process here in Minnesota, but also discuss, accessibility and how things have improved for people living with disabilities and things like that, if that sounds good.
Sounds great to me.
All right, perfect. Well, we'll jump right into questions then. I think my first question is, how did you ever get involved with kind of accessibility voting advocacy?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the Voter Engagement Division Manager for Hennepin County. I've been here since 2018 when I started around with elections, and have been really excited to work with all sorts of different populations that have barriers to voting. Mm-hmm. But especially with disability communities, there's not a ton of outreach around voting for communities with disabilities. And so that's been really exciting to do. The county as a whole does a lot around working with people with disabilities, mm-hmm. as well as the state. And there's a lot of different ways that we can make sure that people know how to vote. And there are a lot of different options for voting with disabilities. And so that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah. Awesome. What kind of we'll get into what has been implemented more recently, but kind of going back into the past, what were some of the barriers typically that were faced by people with disabilities that they, had to navigate?
Totally. Yeah. So definitely physical barriers to get into the polling place.
Obviously,
prior to ADA, as well as not being able to vote autonomously. So not being able to fill out their own ballot based on your disability. And then also just lack of voting information and outreach and resources around that. We've really grown and expanded both locally and countrywide across the United States around how much we know about voting and how much we are interested in letting other people know, in terms of outreach, making sure that people know that there's voting available for people with disabilities.
Right, right. So can you name a couple of kind of key improvements that have happened recently in voting that have kind of changed the game for those with disabilities?
Totally. So, Minnesota, every single polling place has to have an accessible ballot marking device.
Okay.
So every single precinct, every single early voting location, we have to have we have to have a machine that lets somebody vote autonomously. So somebody with a vision impairment or that kind of thing can use can put on some headphones and vote their ballot. So we have to have that in every single polling place.
So does that single, I guess what I would call polling location or booth, does that have all the requisites to handle pretty much any disability for someone who is not able to fill out their own?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So it has, says what's on the ballot. It reads out the ballot. There's a touch screen if people want to make the text larger. Mm-hmm. You can make the larger. And then there's a Braille keypad that goes through the ballot, and you can press which ones you want.
Very interesting. That makes me think. So, MCPF's founder and executive chairman is Peter Morton, who's a quadriplegic. So, only really has movement from shoulders and up. Would he then speak into the machine to vote, or how would he go about voting in that sort of scenario?
Yeah, totally. So there is a Braille keypad that some people can use, or you can have somebody touch the pad for you. There's also a sip and puff device that many, not all of the machines allow, but most of them do allow a sip and puff. And so you can either bring your own, or most polling places have those available for folks to use as well.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And so that was my other question is, are they if I had a disability, am I allowed to have someone assist me as well?
Yes. So you can bring anybody of your choosing except your employer come to help you vote. So you can bring anyone you want to the polling place with you. If you don't want to bring someone that you can ask election judges, and two election judges can help you vote.
Oh, very cool. So the improvements that have been made, do they now all fall under the ADA?
Yes. So, so the ADA has made polling place requirements that so all polling places have to abide by the ADA. But then there's also the Help America Vote Act, which was put into place post 2000 after the 2000 election. And so it was put in place in 2002. And that actually created the Election Assistance Commission, which helps to ensure that all local election jurisdictions have the resources they need to make sure voting is accessible. And they have a lot more guidelines, more election specific guidelines than the ADA has.
Right.
So that's been very helpful too.
Very cool. So, you know, we kind of alluded to it in the conversation so far, but, you know, disabilities have such a wide range for people. And you kind of have no idea what the difficulty might be for somebody. And we talked about the booth having all the different options for a lot of different people. Are there any disabilities so right now that you know of that really are have not been looked into yet or have not really been addressed?
Not that I know of, but if there's people out there who know of disabilities or who are having a hard time accessing voting, let us know. We do try to make sure that all disabilities are addressed. All people with disabilities have access to the polling place and to voting. There are lots of different ways that people can vote. If you can't come into the polling place for whatever reason, maybe you're sick on election day, you can curbside vote in Minnesota. So you can stay from your, you can vote from your car, which is great. A brand new way for people to vote in Minnesota is the accessible absentee ballot. So an absentee ballot can be emailed to people with print or vision disabilities, and they can use a screen reader to actually fill out that ballot and then print it and send it back to us.
Oh, very cool.
Which is very, super exciting for people to be able to do that. Before, they would have an absentee ballot, but it would be just a piece of paper, and that's not very accessible. So that's awesome, and people have been taking advantage of that. And then there's also things like agent delivery. So somebody who has an incapacitating health reason can have somebody come and pick up an absentee ballot for them and then have them fill it out and then come back and drop it off. People use that as well. And that's really helpful.
Yeah, it seems like you kind of cover all the bases with that. It's also very cool that the absentee ballot is also something that has been, I'm sure for anybody with a disability, it was kind of a pain when, like, I would love to do an absentee ballot, but I need a little bit more help. So it's nice that there's now ways that they can participate in that, you know, benefit as well here in Minnesota. So speaking of Minnesota and all these awesome things, is do you know, are most states following suit with a lot of these practices, or are we kind of cutting edge or like leading the forefront? Are we more, you know, commonplace, or where is Minnesota kind of rank?
So Minnesota has very accessible voting laws. We have laws that make it easy to vote, and so we are leaders in the pack in the country around voting in general. So making sure that voting is easy for people, but especially around making sure voting is accessible. So we do lead the country in that.
Awesome. Do other states kind of come to your team or the organization that you work with, kind of like, here's a scenario we ran into last year. We know you guys have already implemented some stuff. Is there kind of the assistance kind of teamwork there?
Yeah, sometimes there is. The EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, is also there to help with those types of things. We do have really great resources around voter engagement. And so that's something that we talk to other states and other local jurisdictions around, because we as in Hennepin County work very closely with like the National Federation of the Blind, Reach for Resources, Lutheran Social Services, other organizations who have closer contacts with people with disabilities. And we work very closely with these organizations to make sure that their staff and their communities know all the accessible voting options.
Right.
And so helping other jurisdictions understand how to cultivate those relationships has been really helpful.
For people. And being able to get that message to the people who need to hear it so that they get involved and vote.
Exactly.
The whole idea is you want more voting, right?
Exactly. Yes, we do.
So this is not in the list of questions that we've discussed ahead of time. So if you don't know the answer, totally understood. But do you have any sort of idea or metrics around how many people vote using any of these disability services or anything. Like how many, you know, what percentage of the voting population needs some assistance in voting?
Yeah, I think it's, is it maybe like 20% of people have disabilities that require this type of assistance. Mm-hmm. Or some type of assistance.
Any type,
So it's a really, it's important to focus on this type of thing. I think around 61 million adults have disabilities in the country. Mm-hmm. There was a study that Rutgers did in 2020 that asked people about the barriers that they face. And they found that 11% of people with disabilities still face barriers to voting, mm-hmm. which is high. And that's the highest percent of people who face barriers that they studied. Demographics that they asked, right. That was the highest community that faced barriers.
Well, and I would assume part of that too is, you know, very likely that they don't fully know what is available, in their given jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And so back to your point of, you know, getting able to communicate all the things that have been put in place for them, that they might not have been privy to before their injury or something. I wouldn't know unless someone reached out and said, you can still vote. This is absolutely a thing you can mm-hmm. still do. We just do it slightly differently now.
Totally.
So that's very cool. And as far as not having that question prepped beforehand, that was a very good answer. I mean, you referenced Rutgers and everything. That was great. So do you have like a single story or an ideal scenario in your history in which someone with a disability was like blown away by kind of the advances that your team has made in the voting process?
Yeah. So when I was preparing this question, I was sort of trying to think about this, especially around COVID, around 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And so not necessarily somebody who has a physical disability, but people who were sick or on election day. Mm-hmm. And so people could use curbside voting. And that was a way to keep everyone healthy and safe. And that's available to anybody, whether you have a disability or whether you're sick on election day. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we sort of made sure that people in Minnesota knew about,
right.
Leading up to 2020 to make sure that our poll workers were safe, especially. And so now we hear a lot more people know that that's an option. So that's really exciting. We also get people all the time not wanting to like tell anybody who they're voting for, which is great. That's their right. It's your right to not to vote autonomously. And so it's great to be able to show them that there's these tools to do that.
Right. And that's, I think, another great point because, in my back of my mind before we started having this conversation, I was always thinking, well, you just need someone with you to help and then vote with you. Mm-hmm. But that does kind of ruin that privateness or, the ability to do it on your own, I think, is huge. Mm-hmm. And be able to have your own opinion and not have someone, whether or not if they're close to you, they're not going to judge you, but you just also don't want necessarily mm-hmm. everybody to have to know what you're voting for and how you're voting. And so that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's super cool. I guess, what would you say your vision for the future of voting is? I know you've obviously made quite the amount of strides since like 2018 when you started. Do you have kind of like a goal for what you'd like voting to look like going forward?
Yeah, I'd love for everyone to know about all the options for voting, that they can vote autonomously, and I would like other election administrators to know that this is a community to reach out to, because it is our job as election administrators to talk to voters, talk mm-hmm. to communities, talk to organizations about all of these options, because there are options for people to vote autonomously.
Right. Awesome. So this is a question, again, not on the list, that comes to mind. We just had the primary election?
Mm-hmm. Last night.
Last evening. So I got chatting with my wife about it. We both voted. And one of the things that she brought up, which I think is a great point, is when you live a life like the way we do, I read a lot of the news and I try and pay attention, but I don't know every name on the ballot and mm-hmm. I don't understand who's standing for what and all that sort of stuff. And I think there's always been this need for like almost like cramming, like study cramming on all the information about the candidates before you go in and vote. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question was, has, you know, the electoral office put any thought into like how they could present some really basic information so people get a better grasp and feel like mm-hmm. they're going in making educated decisions?
Yeah, totally. That's something, knowledge of candidates is something that people ask for all the time, that voters often feel like they need to know exactly what each candidate stands for, which is great. And we support that, of course. And so that information is available on the candidates' websites, what we make available when you look at your sample ballot online. Mm-hmm. So we suggest that. Some of our community organizations hold candidate forums, which is great. But we also want to remind voters that in Minnesota, you are allowed to bring your phone into the polling place with you. I know sometimes I, like when there's random judges, sometimes I bring notes for myself on like who
is that again? Judge is
exactly
that?
So you can definitely do that. You can bring a sample ballot into the polling place with you. But yeah, I'd suggest looking at their websites prior.
Okay, great. So I think we're covering most pretty much every question I've got here. I do have one more. I guess for those in our audience who maybe are recently injured or have been living with a disability and you know, haven't voted for a while or are looking to vote, is there anything about the voting process that you think is worth talking about that we haven't already?
Yeah, well, I would just say that you have the right to vote. It's important that you make your voice heard and that you have the right to vote autonomously. So when you go into your polling place, talk to the election judges about your options. If you're in Minnesota, you'll have the accessible voting equipment. If you're in another state, just check with your election judges. But that us as election administrators, we're here for you, for the voters. Right. So if you don't know what's going on in your jurisdiction, mm-hmm. Call up your election administrators, send them an email, figure out what options are available to you. Mm-hmm. There's lots of community organizations out there working to make sure that that you have the information that you need to vote. So they're good partners too.
How would I go about getting the information to, you know, call up my, mm-hmm. you know, election official or whoever it is? How would I get to that information?
Yeah, usually it's online. So, okay. So in Minnesota, the Secretary of State's website has all the contacts for all the counties. Other states likely do as well. Mm-hmm. But that contact information is all online.
So, yeah. So if anybody were to reach out and, you know, look into the voting and it doesn't seem like all of the correct things are in order for them to vote, mm-hmm. go to that web, you know, look online, get a contact and say, it doesn't seem like the accessibility voting is where it should be.
Yeah.
And they will work on.
Yes. And that's actually a great point. Thanks for mentioning that. There is the Help America Vote Act that was enacted in 2002 puts a provision for a complaint form. So they have an accessible voting complaint form that you can fill out and they'll do an investigation on that too. So we encourage folks who have accessibility issues at their polling place or voting or otherwise fill out that form.
And I'm sure you want to hear about every situation that's out there so that you can get better and, you know, continue to do a great job. So awesome. Well, I think that pretty much covered all the questions that I had today. I just wanted to say thank you again for participating in today's podcast. You know, the work that you do makes a massive difference in many people's lives, I'm sure. But, you know, the SCI community is absolutely grateful for people like you and your efforts. So
thank you.
Really do appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Everybody who's watching or listening at home, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, I urge you to subscribe, give us a thumbs up, you know, leave a comment, that sort of thing. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, you could always give us a follow. That also helps as well. But other than that, Lydia, thank you again so much.
Thanks for having me. Please go vote.
Yes, go vote. Thanks, everybody.